Moses, of course, a great man of renown. God wrought a great work in and through Moses. But, of course, there's no Moses without his mother. And so the mother of Moses. By the way, who knows the name of Moses' mother? Yeah, Jochebed. Not too many people know Moses' mother's name. And it's rather fitting thinking about the almost anonymous nature of Moses' mother. And that's, in some ways, it's part of the message today. All the work, the hidden work in particular, that she did. And yet, not too many people even know her name. And yet, what great things proceeded from her faithfulness. Hebrews 11:23, now this is for his father and his mother. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. Can you say hidden, by the way? It's a big part of the message today. Was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful or good, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. What a time to be born into this world. It was a dark and dangerous season. And we see, if you know the backdrop and the narrative of Moses, Moses was basically a product of parental faith and providential intervention in the midst of very perilous times. Moses was to be a deliverer, a Messiah in some respects, to a host of people. And it starts with dad and mom going to great lengths in a time where it was basically against the law. Imagine such a thing, for it to be illegal to have a baby boy. Terrible times. And yet they were not afraid. They had faith. You see, faith and fear are opposites. They chose to fear God rather than to submit in regard to the laws of men. And so Moses was a product of such parental faith and providential intervention. We know God comes in and does great things through this man in the midst of perilous times. And so let's consider the hostile world, and I'm sure we'll be able to glean from this account and see the parallels to the day and age we find ourselves in. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, and then verse 22, here was the world that Moses was born into. Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whose name was Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the children live. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live. What a time. You got institutionalized infanticide. Basically, the sanctity of life is obliterated. And these Hebrew midwives, they refuse to participate, and God grants them favor for it. But we see here Satan's basic strategy. Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He hates every aspect of life. He hates human beings in particular because they bear the image of God. And he did want to squelch the Messiah. The Messiah would be a Jewish male. And so all of these things, hatred of life and a satanic environment were at work here. You got wholesale popularized infant eradication going on. The midwives refuse to participate, so Pharaoh basically makes it public policy. He tells the Egyptians, any Egyptian, you see that in verse 22, he commanded all his people, when you find out that these Hebrews have a male child, you go ahead and grab that child and throw him in the Nile. to the crocodiles. It's a horrible situation, is it not? Can you imagine such a thing? And I can't help but to think that we live in a very similar day and age. There's been millions upon millions of babies that have been aborted, and the sanctity of life in this day and age is basically going down the tubes rapidly. It's a hostile world. The same devil that was ruling through his puppet dictator Pharaoh and was putting people in bondage and destroying little babies, same devil's working today and working overtime. And so this is the hostile world. It's perilous times for God's people. And coming upon the end of the age, coming into the final hours, if you will, of human history, that's where God's people find themselves today. We're in a very perilous time. We're in a world that the devil runs roughshod, and he's making a lot of traction. Of course, his ultimate goal will be defeated. Jesus Christ will take over, but he's going to do as much damage as he possibly can. And so that's kind of almost like Lamentations. A lot of dark messages there, a lot of doom and gloom, if you will. But it's interesting thinking about that small little book that Randy quoted from, Lamentations. You have five chapters, and the first two chapters are I believe, 22 verses each. And then chapters 4 and 5 are 22 verses each. And then chapter 3 is 66 verses. It's like just sectioned up like that. And it's like you got dark clouds on one side, dark, gloomy clouds on the other. But right in the middle of chapter 3, the ray of light is there. And Randy had read that very encouraging passage that Jeremiah could still see light, if you will, in the midst of such darkness. And that's where we're at as Christians. We understand we're in a hostile world. We understand that we are not in a child-friendly world. We're in a world of a whole lot of predators, and be they physical people or be they infiltration through media. It's a very hostile world. This is not the Beaver Cleaver generation, is it? And so it's kind of like that era, and like the policy of Pharaoh, destruction and fear and paranoia. But we also know that greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And we see now life goes on. There's still hope. With all of this hostility, life continues via the hidden work, the small acts of care and nurturing of a wonderful mother. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. We still have this sense of anonymity. We've got a man, Moses' father, a woman, his mother. No names, just people that are choosing to be faithful that are basically unknowns. By the way, Moses' father was Amram. And yet you see the good work of quiet, secret, hidden work that goes on in terms of Moses. In the midst of this crooked season, they bring forth a child. And you can almost see two aspects, if you will, of mom's work. Mom's hidden, day by day, mundane, routine, at times drudgery, as she cares for a child. You see, first of all, in verse 2, that she hid him for 3 months. And this speaks, from my perspective, of what a mom does for their sons and daughters. They, in more of a hidden sense, they provide, they protect, they clean up, they tend to, they discipline. They just do all these things in a secret place, in a thankless place, if you will. I mean, when your children are young, your children probably aren't writing you thank you notes for taking care of the meals and cleaning up my messes and all that. It's just unthinkable, isn't it? As a matter of fact, they're more often than not demanding and very unthankful, and they keep you up at night, and you got to clean up after them, and then, you know, they demand more. They demand more. They're like total consumers, and you would hope as they grow that some of that would diminish, and they'd be transitioning from consumers to producers, and but it's a long, hard trek. And even though we can say, well, she just did that for 3 months, we could still take by analogy. We could take this first aspect of the more hidden work that a mom does. And, of course, you know, there's different ways and different manifestations of that. Some moms work outside of the home, some inside. And, of course, you've got both going on for some. But so much of it is thankless. So much of it is just done by faith and done by, you know, obligation. And I've got to do this. There's a duty to do it. There's a mandate. And so they're providing for their children. They're protecting their children. They're feeding. They're leading. They're just doing the work by which great potential can come. Moses' mother, Jochebed, she's doing this thing, and you know, it's a very fearful thing. She's trying to hide the child. And there comes a point where he can no longer be hidden. Somehow, Moses is exposed. Somehow, maybe a neighbor knows that now they have a male child over there, and they can no longer keep Moses hidden. So verse 3 gives us the other side of mom's work. Mom was at first providing and protecting in-house, much more secretive. But another side of what mom does is she preps the children for departure. She builds them up. She develops them over time. You know, she's not to have this dysfunctional, I want to keep them here forever, and I don't want them to grow and go. But she's also preparing for the imminent departure. Verse 3, when she could no longer hide him no longer, she took from a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with basically asphalt. And so I can't help, as I've read this the last few times, to get a picture of another man who built something that would preserve life. Can anybody think of the name of that man, by the way? Noah. He went to great lengths. The Bible says that moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the salvation of his family, and 8 souls were saved. And it's almost like, you know, the mom is prepping the children to grow up, prepping them hopefully to be disciples of the Lord, hopefully to produce in their sons and daughters a heart to stand before God, and their identity's not totally wrapped up in mom. And of course, all these things can cross over to dad as well, but it's Mother's Day. So hopefully, you know, it's not all about the being under the parent. You see, the word for hide means to hide by covering and hovering over, almost like a chicken over her chicks, a mother hen or over the chicks. And that's she doesn't so overdo it that they lose their identity in a parent, but she's training them up in the way they should go. And as a Christian mom, the wonderful privilege to really be the first on-hand minister of the Lord unto your children. It's like a missionary to those little ones. God has given you those kids to disciple. And so hopefully, like Jochebed did for Moses, she prepared an ark for salvation. Hopefully you moms are preparing your children to present them to God. You're reading the Bible to them. You're putting them in a protective cover. You're building up their immunity for when the inevitable assaults of the world come against them, that they're stronger to handle it. Think about the care as she was going to place this ark or this basket in the River Nile. Think about the care and the time she took to make sure that thing was travel worthy, so it wouldn't sink right into the water. And then, after the provision and protection of a hidden season, and then prepping Moses for parting. By faith, she releases him into the care of God. Such a difficult thing to do. Very hard for a parent to release their children, but it must be done. And she releases Moses to the care of God. Into your hands, O God, I commit this precious soul. There's nothing more I can do here. It's a mandate. I have to release him. If he stays here, there is danger to him. He will perish. I have to let him go. And so the wonderful hidden work of mom, and moms, you know, God has seen your hidden work. It's hidden from perhaps the eyes of other people and maybe hidden from the mind of your children or their memories. But God has seen your faithfulness. He's seen your long, hard, difficult hours and your diligence and your tears and your prayers. He's seen all these things. And it's from the hidden work of Moses' mother now to the handiwork of God. Here's where God comes in and interjects himself into the scene. Exodus chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. After releasing Moses into the river, it says here, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now, the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women were walked beside the river. And she saw the basket. Wouldn't you just know it? Wow. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. You know, these wonderful coincidences, you know, I say in jest, that you find in the Bible. It kind of reminds me of a real funny one that didn't turn out so well for Haman in the book of Esther, where he was coming in to basically report Mordecai and had the gallows already built to hang him. And wouldn't you know it, the night before, the king couldn't sleep. And wouldn't you know it, I mean, this would be boring. Maybe that put him asleep, but the chronicles were read of past deeds to the king. And the king just happened to read of Mordecai. And then wouldn't you know it, Haman just happened to come in at that time and was about to give his speech. And the king said, before you say anything, you know what should be done for a man that is so honored by the king? And so Haman, assuming it was him, do all these great things. Let it be done to Mordecai. You know, wouldn't you know it? The wonderful, and the scriptures have different examples of that, where things just seem to happen. You know, mom has done all this work, and we parents, we do what we can in the hidden time and the time where they have to be under our care. We hover over them and cover them, but we should be prepping them for departure. And it's hard, you know, what kind of world are they going into? Think about the hostility of Moses. Not only is there institutionalized infanticide, but also he's now being put on a river and just set in motion. And who knows what could come up and just grab him and take him down. But isn't it just a wonderful thing? When we do our part, this is the point. When we do our part and we're faithful in the little things, God takes over and does the things we never could have done. And it just so happens that the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. And then this is another amazing thing. Verse 6, when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. You know, here's a woman that was basically raised in a culture of death. She was raised in a culture of bigotry. She was raised in a culture where the Hebrews were the slave, the permanent underclass, the slave class. And, you know, why should she care about a baby that's crying? But see, this is the work of God. God touches her heart. And in a way only God can, God softens her when the baby's crying, and she's compassionate. And it's not like she's ignorant. She knows this is one of the Hebrews' children. Verse 7, then his sister, now think about the shrewdness now of Miriam here, Moses' sister, who was following along. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse a child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. What a wonderful series of coincidences. Pharaoh's daughter discovers, wow, this girl's here. She just happens to be able to connect me with someone that can nurse this child that I just now suddenly care for and emotionally invested into this fast. See, this is the work of God. And Pharaoh's daughter said, go. And the daughter went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away. Well, that's convenient. Take your child back and nurse him for me. And I'm going to pay you for it. Wow. Think about the reward coming back to mom here. You know, the Bible says that those who sow in tears will reap in joy. You know, try to get past just the issue of time. This is happening in months. Because most of you moms are working well past that. You're into years into it, maybe even decades. And you've sown. You've done the hidden work. You've done your best to prep them for departure. You've basically set them out into the river of this world, a dangerous river. And for some of them, you know, they're in their ark, and they could capsize the thing because they have their own folly. But by faith, you've set them to God, and you allow God's handiwork. You allow God's intervention. You allow God's grace to come in. And God has a way of turning things around. God has a way of bringing things back full circle. And I know some parents, you might be so discouraged right now. You've released some children. And you're going, I don't know. The course they're going down, I don't know where it's going to take them to. But you just continue to pray. Continue to believe. God has seen your work. He's seen your labor. He's seen your diligence. And God has even seen your unfaithfulness. Well, if I would have been a better mother, then, you know, fill in the blank. God's even factored in some of your error and unfaithfulness. He's able to make up for it. This is where the wonderful handiwork of God comes in. Pharaoh's daughter says, here's your child back, and by the way, you're going to be paid for it too. How convenient. So the woman took the child and nursed her own son. When a child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses. Pharaoh's daughter names Moses. Why? Because she said, I drew him out of the water. Key point for today, mom's hidden work is part of God's handiwork. This is an awesome combination here. Moms, as you labor, as you struggle, as you wonder, I mean, it's tough from the beginning for you moms. You got conception, then you got 9 to 10 months. By the way, we got like, I think, 6 in our church right now that are pregnant. So we got some nursery issues coming. We got to enlarge in some way in this building, that's for sure. Unless one of you have already bought our land with 10 to 20 acres and got a building going up. It's just going to surprise me one day. That'd be fine. But back to this now. We want to focus on moms, not my dreams. You know, as you've labored, as you've struggled, you go through those 10 months, and how much of that is struggle and labor us men will never thankfully know, and at least, you know, intimately. But then that's just the beginning, because then they come out, you got to tend to them, and you got to be aware of what's going on. And you know, some of you moms, you're going about it in a single way, and that makes it even more difficult. My mom kind of had that situation because my dad wasn't functional as he should have been, and so she raised 7 of us that way, and all honor to her, bless her for that. I've already called her, by the way. Happy Mother's Day to her. She'll listen to this later. And so, but you struggle, and sometimes you just wonder, is this getting anywhere? This just gets so old. I got to clean up the same thing. If I got to tell them one more time, it just never seems to end. But you will be blessed. You will reap. You're in the long season of sowing. Secret times, hidden times, boring times. Long season of it. But you're prepping them for departure. And what you do in secret, God's going to come hand in hand. And he's going to take what you've done. And he's going to make much of it. He's going to take even your errors and by his hand, you're going to see profit. You're going to see value. You're going to see progress. You know, this is a rather embarrassing personal anecdote, but may it be a blessing. Yesterday, we got this rain coming, and so I'm trying to get the mower prepped and got a big old deck that I have to put in the mower somehow, and figured it out, but with a lot of sweat and labor, was able to, and I had never done it before, so it was like trying something for the first time. And so for a good hour plus, I eventually got the deck on my mower, and then I went to run it, and, one thing that's helpful for a mower is that the blades actually turn. And so I've got the tractor going, but I can't get the blades to turn, so no belt spinning, no blades turning. And so I had done all that work, and finally, one of my go-to references for equipment expertise is Seth Rosenthal, and I called him up and said, hey, I can't get, for some reason it won't do the thing that needs to do, so the grass goes down. And he said, I'll be over to help you. And so he came, and it was just amazing. Within 5 seconds, by the way, you got to lift this thing up, this for the PTO to, is that what it is, Seth, PTO? You got to actually lift this thing up, and then the blades start to do this. And so, yeah, an embarrassing anecdote, but may it be helpful in this respect. That's like mom. She's doing all this work for months, years, decades. But God comes in. And because of my faithfulness and the hidden thing, doing what needed to be done, an expert beyond me in many respects came in and was able to do something real quick. And that's what God will do. You know, you say, well, how long? You know, God's able to turn things. It's like the widow that was praying in Luke 18. How long until you bring me justice? And justice came her way. And shall not God avenge his people in that quickly? Shall not God take your faithfulness and hand in hand, God's handiwork, he'll take what you have done and he will bring life to it. It's like the little boy that brought the loaves and the fishes. And then Jesus' hands became involved in multiplication and a whole crowd. And see, that's what was Moses. Moses is a coupling, if you will, of the hidden work of parents and his mom in particular, and then God coming in and making connections and orienting his life and setting a course. Even a man that would be guilty of murder and would be a criminal would basically be a fugitive. And God still came and redirected the life of Moses. And what great value has come from this man. But we could also give equal thanks and glory, if you will, to basically an unknown woman named Jochebed. Couple closing thoughts here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And may this also be applied to all of us. Therefore, my beloved brothers, and allow me a little tweak here. Therefore, my beloved mothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. When you serve as unto the Lord, I serve this child, I serve this grandchild, I change the diapers, I make the meals, I go through the frustration, I have good days and bad days, I do the driving thing. All these things, as unto the Lord, it is not in vain. Everything, see, there's two ledgers going on. There's the ledgers of the reward system that we can see, and that seems to be a little sparse, a little minimal at this point. But there's another ledger. There's the treasures that are being laid up in heaven. There's the potential of kingdom profit that as you bless, and you know what? It may not even be in a biological sense. Some of you may be mothers to children that aren't yours personally, but you provide a motherly coverage to them. Perhaps it might even be expressed through this church. You serve as a teacher. You serve in the nursery. You cover them. You pray over them. You got a heart for those children. See, all those things, be steadfast, be immovable, abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord that labor is not in vain. There's an article from one Shanna Mallon. Moms, Your Sweet Sacrifices Matter is the title. The allure of immediate validation is obvious, especially to someone who's facing new challenges at home. Motherhood can feel isolating and lonely, and with its constant demands, discouraging in ways a woman has never experienced before. In my short stint as a mom, I've already wondered more times than I like if I'm doing it right. But looking to the rewards of others' approval on social media is not the answer to my heart's questions. When I find myself wondering if my days have value, there's only one source I can trust. Because I was made to delight in Jesus, the one who demonstrated perfectly what it means to give up life for another, I don't have to trade the temporal satisfaction of being noticed for the eternal glory that is to come. Instead of looking to hearts on Instagram to fill me up in quiet moments while the baby sleeps, I can look to the one who sees every momentary little sacrifice and uses it for good. I can fight for faith that the hidden work of motherhood matters, because nothing we do or think is hidden to Him. Nobody else has to see this moment. God does. So as mothers, when we're wiping another mess, making another meal, losing sleep, or wondering if this quiet work matters at all, we can take hold of delight, not just in the affection we feel for our precious children, but also in the truth that serving them matters to our God. This is why our humdrum, ordinary, simple days are important, because we believe they're important to God. In every moment, He's with us. He is in us. He hears us. He sees us. He is, in our days at home, as in anywhere else, working out His purposes in a thousand ways we cannot see and like and comment on in this life. 1 Timothy 5:25, to close out here, awesome, awesome verse. So also, good works are conspicuous. There's some things that we do that stand out, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. Your good work, your faithful work, your prayers, your blood, sweat, and tears, your concerns, your cares, your worries, your wonderings, does this even amount to anything? God sees. God is working. Continue to have faith in God. Continue, moms, to do your wonderful hidden work, and God will bring an increase. You know, the Bible says that some plant and some water, but it's God. God's handiwork. Without that, without Seth coming and showing me that, I might have been, not accomplished the goal of mowing the grass. Without God coming in, He makes all the things come together for the good of His glory. And so I want to just have a stand here today. And in a moment, we're going to bring the moms down and pray over them and give them a gift. But before we do, I want to pray for everybody. And let's close our eyes for a moment here. If Jesus is not your Savior, this is a wonderful opportunity to believe on Jesus Christ for salvation. None of us can be good enough to merit God's favor. So God sent His Son into the world, and His Son was sinless and merited the favor of God. Now, whoever goes through Jesus Christ, they get the favor and acceptance of God because of Jesus. If you've not yet believed in Jesus for salvation, could you raise your hand so I could pray for you later on this afternoon? I'd be glad to pray for you. I've not yet committed my life to Jesus. I've not believed in Him for salvation. Jesus Christ is here for you today. He loves you. I'd be glad to pray for you today. Friends, if you want to, in general, say, Lord, I want to be continual, steadfast, and immovable in my work for the Lord. Maybe I've grown a little weary. Maybe I've felt like giving it up. Maybe I've said, what's the point if this is the way it's going to be? But just hold on. Your hidden work, your hidden griefs, your mundane times, they're all part of God's working. He ultimately is going to work those things together. And if you just need some prayer today, I'd like to pray for you. God, help me to serve You faithfully. Help me to serve You with gladness. Help me to keep on going. If that's you, just raise your hand so I can pray for you today. Lord, bless each of these. Bless each of these, O Lord. They may feel just futile, like empty, like what's it all coming to? Lord, help us all to serve by faith. Help us to serve you with gladness. Help us to remain in the calling in which we've been called. And to choose to be a blessing, Lord, knowing that you, God, will take our little. You'll take our loaves and our fishes. You'll take our vessel, and you'll multiply it many times over. Encourage my brothers and sisters today. Help them, O Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, well, we're going to have the moms come down. And so, moms, grandmothers, if you're able to, why don't you come on down so I can pray a prayer of blessing over you. And if you're not able to, if you need to stay in your seat, we'll pray for you as well, understand.